If you got a Bible, you'll look me there at Matthew chapter number 6 in the Word of God. Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24. The Bible said, "No man can serve two masters. For he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Well, I won't try it. The Lord will help me a while and preach on it. Cannot be. That's really what Jesus was saying here in the Sermon on the Mount, to his men, his disciples, as he spake to them. And he said, no man can serve two masters. You can't have two rulers. You can't have two over you. He said, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. And the word mammon there takes the meaning of wealth or riches or inordinate gain. And he's speaking to these men here about how that he'll take care of them, how he'll supply every need they have, how that he is the one that will, thank God, clothe them and feed them. And if they would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to them. And that's right. God's the one that supplies our need. He's the one, thank God, we're to look to. And Jesus is letting them know that they didn't have to turn to the riches of this world. They didn't have to depend on the world. Hey, you'll live for one world or the other. You'll live for this and that, or you'll live for the one hereafter. But I find here that he said you can't live for both of them. You can't live for the world. You can't live for God. You can't live for the pleasures of this life and live for God. You got to have, it's a strict thing here. I mean it is. Thank God, what we've done today, we've made God an optional God. We've made the church an optional church. And we've just lost the love of the Lord. We've left the first love. And we find here that God said that you can't serve them both. You can't live for both of them. Isn't it amazing today of what people do for the love of money? How the love of money's in control of this world. And the God of this world has said, my friend, use the love of money to take control of this world. That's right. You look at, he said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And that is right. It's the root of all evil. And men today, my friend, lust, and they fight war, and God says you have not because you ask not, that we are the children of God. He said, would he give you a stone if he you ask for a piece of bread? Oh no, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to his children that ask him? But we live in a faithless day. We live in a day, my friend, where everybody's controlled by the almighty dollar bill. I've seen people leave the will of God because they can make more money. I've seen people leave the place of God because it's a difficult time. You know, you look in the Bible, Abraham, he went to Egypt in a famine time. Elimelech left Bethlehem, Judah, and went to Moab in a famine time. And men will leave their house of God. And God, they'll leave places that God's blessing them in just to make more money. I tell you, we live in that day. But I tell you, it's amazing how that the church is conformed to the thoughts of the world. The church is conformed to the way the world says go. And I know we use the cliche, well, you know, I got to take care of my family. Who's doing this? You or God? Hey, God, I know and understand a man. Hey, God's the breadwinner. And he's the, praise God, have that diligence about that. But who's doing the taking care of us? Is it God or is it us? I can't understand and know that we live in a society now that nothing matters anymore. Whether a man's faithful or not, whether they're faithful to God or faithful to the church or faithful to the things of God,
And now it's become optional to them. I guarantee you there'd be more people in the house of God this morning if they really knew the Lord was coming tonight. Thank God we wouldn't be able to get in the doors. But I tell you, friend, people have got so unfaithful. Unfaithful. They've got faithful. My friend, unrighteous mammon. That's why Jesus said, beware of covetousness. He said that will be a leaven in your life. And he said, don't get caught up in things. He said, life don't consist in the abundance of things that a man possesses. He said, there was a rich fool in the Bible that had plenty. And he said, I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build greater. I'm going to sit back and eat and drink and be merry. But God said, you're a fool. And tonight thy soul's required of thee. That's right. We got, so you know what's hushed the mouth of the church and the man of God? Materialism. That's right. We more concerned about materialism than we are spiritual things. Where's your heart at this morning? You more concerned about sinners going to hell? Are you more concerned about what you have in this life? Amen. That's right, friend. I'm telling you what. We labor for things that's going to perish. Amen. We labor for things that's not going to last. That's why the house of God's being forsaken on the Lord's day. Amen. Factories now and plants have put their men going there on the Lord's day. Take them out of the house of God. Have a job they got to work on the Lord's day. It's all about money. That's where it's at in this hour. What can you make for me? It's a greedy world. It's a greedy day we're living in. Men don't have to live like that, but they chose to live like that. And the fact of it is, Jesus said, you can't serve me and the mammon. You can't serve me and the pleasures of this life. You can't serve me and your family. And first Brother Joe was quoting this morning. He said, let me go tell my family bye. He said, let me bury my dad first. And he said, let the dead bury their dead. He said, don't. Hey, God, put your head to the plow and look back. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. Hey, friend, we've got so soft and we don't have no option about serving God that we've served other things. He said, you can't do it. And you can't serve God and mammon. Amen. That's right. Boy, I could tighten her down this morning. I feel that way. I don't know if God give it to me. I'm going to tighten her down. Like old Brother Gene went to Brother Milby's church and shook the pew and he said, I just want to make sure everything's tightened down. Amen. That's right. Thank God we need to tighten her down sometime. Amen. Need a haircut once in a while. That's what I got this week. Got to tighten down. I ain't got about another 2 weeks. She'll be getting to grow again. I have to tighten her down again. I tell you, sometimes we just got to preach a while and tighten her down. Amen. I need to tighten her down my own heart. I need to tighten her down my own life. Ain't God church isn't an optional thing. It never has been since I got born again. I'm willing to be at the house of God. You can't serve two masters. There's no way, friend. You can't do it. You'll either get completely on God's side. It's what Elijah said. If God be God, follow him. If Baal's God, get on his side. Ain't God, he said, you hop between two opinions. He said, you're jumping back and forth. 1 minute you say, I'm going God, and the next minute you over here. Isn't that not the way our life is being run? Ain't God just not all the way on one side or the other? But Jesus said you can't straddle the fence. You can't, my friend, go one way and then another way. There's one way. And we need to get in it this morning. Ain't God, we ought to serve him. Ain't God, we ought to get in with him. You'll never get with God until you get decided in your heart that this is God's way. I'm going to go with it. And I'm not going to serve anything else but God Almighty. Amen. That's what Joshua said to them Israelites. He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, the gods of your father served on the other side of the flood, or the God of heaven. He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua done the talking. Mama Joshua didn't say it. The children didn't say it. Daddy Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're not going to serve them idol gods. We're not going to base our family on idol gods. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Well, we got enough idols that take us 24 hours to kill them all. Thank God to destroy all of them. Like them kings did when they come in, they done brought any of them idols in. Hey, we got idols set up in our hearts. Hey, we're sitting on them like Rachel did. Thank God. That's right, brother. Oh, Hezekiah had to take the idol that the brazen serpent beat it up because there's a fallen in around still. That was the instrument God used. Thank God to deliver the Israelites in the desert when they're being bit by serpents. But you know, they carried that serpent around after that. And Hezekiah, I believe it was, had to destroy it. It was idolatry, friend. I tell you, there's nothing we ought to worship but God. Worship Christ. Hey, we're not in this thing this morning. Ain't God to worship statues and to worship ain't God people and to worship things we see. We worship a God we hadn't seen with the natural eye. It had seen with the spiritual eye through the Holy Ghost. And we to worship and serve Him. If we miss out on that, we miss out. God help us. Ain't God, it cannot be. A man can't serve God and mammon. Amen. That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. You say, preacher, don't you? I'm not preaching against money. I'm preaching about the evil of it. Amen. I'm preaching about men trying to serve it and worship it. And think he has got to have all the things of this life. And he can't serve God. He can't worship God. He's bound down in the church house. Thank God, because he's all bound over. The Bible said the bars serve it to the lender. That's what he said. We're in too much debt. You agree to that? Amen. We need to get out of debt, not get in debt. We're a whole lot better off when you're out of debt instead of being in debt. But God help me. I tell you, friend, hey, we can't serve God the way we ought to. It's because we got too much indebtedness of things that won't last in this life. Amen. God help us. Amen. Credit cards about killed the average person. That's right. That's easy money, and as far as it's easy to use, it's not easy money. You got to pay back more than what you put out. Amen. God help us. That's right. It's easy to take a credit card out of your wallet and go to the gas station and put it in. Oh, just remember, I'm not paying no interest on no gasoline. God help. Amen. That's right. I'd rather stay at the house and pay interest on gasoline. That's right. Amen. I tell you, investments. I mean, if you're going to invest in something, and I understand we have needs and things come up, I'm not talking about that. But I'm not talking about being a spendthrift neither. That I got to have this and I got to have that. And brother so-and-so got that and I need that. And sister so-and-so's wearing, I ain't got a new pair of shoes and I got to have this. And you got 35 pair in your closet. Amen. I tell you, friend, that's a mess we in. But that's where we at. And therefore, we can't worship. We can't serve God. It's all about us. It's about us being satisfied. He said, you can't serve God like that. You can't serve God in mammon. You're going to have to get on one side or the other. Amen. That's right, isn't it? Amen. No telling what these churches call now debit card churches. Amen. That's right. Be passing their debit card around, sliding it in the slot. And thank God. Amen. I've got one. Don't look at me like that. I'm not against them. I like a debit card. Put it in the gas pump a whole lot easier and hand it out. Thank God that comes out of your checking account. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we live in such a fast day that everything's interest. Amen. That's right. And you never get it paid off. And what it does, it binds you down. It causes you, thank God, to, amen, to have to serve the dollar, have to be entangled with that, than to go with God in this life. I'm telling you, friend, under God, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I have, I'm telling you, amen, with money and things like that. I wish I never had made, amen, because I didn't pray to God about it, didn't seek God about it. But I'll tell you one thing, I realize and know that anything you hinders me, it's not my friend good, because God wants me to serve with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and give myself to Him. You can't serve God and serve mammon. You can't dance. You're going to have to get on one side or the other. Amen. That's why he said to them disciples, he said, I'll take care of you. I'll put clothes and food on your table. Amen. That's right. Amen. And I'll say this. It cannot be. You can't serve two masters. Then I won't say it cannot be. There's not two ways. There's only one way to God.
Amen.
That's right. You know, isn't it amazing today? He that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God.
Right.
He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both God, the Father, and the Son. That if a man preaches another way to God through some other way beside Christ, he's preaching heresy. He's a false prophet. Anybody that says Christ plus baptism is a false prophet. Anybody that says baptism plus communion is a false prophet. Anybody that preaches anything apart from Christ is a false prophet. There's no way a man can get to God but through the Son. He said in the Bible, said Jesus, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And he said, there's only one way to God the Father. That's through God the Son. There's no other way to Him. You can't get to Him. He's the one that gave His life that He might save sinners. He's the one that rose again that He justified us before the Father. He's the one, thank God, that's going to come back after us. He's not going to send no angel back. He's not going to send nobody else back. It said the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout. He's a coming back for His own. You can't have two ways. There's only one way to God. And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. Amen. I was talking to an old boy up there in the jail. He come to church here twice. And he got back into the jailhouse. And I said, what happened? I said, I thought you was living in the basement of somebody's house and going to church. And I said, where was you going? He bowed his head. And he knew what was coming. He said, I went up there to that Church of Christ. And I said, I'm going to tell you right now, they baptized you and told you was going to heaven. And he said they had to do it in their own church. And he said, you're right, 100%. I said, they baptized your wife too, didn't he? He said, yeah, they did. And I said, they lied to you. That ain't the Bible, friend. I said, why don't you stay where the Word of God's at? Where you can get under conviction and sin and get saved. That water can't take away your sin. It's only one way that can take away sin. That's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, I got family members in. I don't care who's in it. It's all a lie. It don't matter whose family's in it. Amen, friend. I'm just saying there's only one way to God. It's not through infant baptism. It's not through church catechism. It's not through confirmation. It's not through church membership. It's not through water baptism. It's not through communion. It's through one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And a man to get saved that way, or you'll die in his sins, I'm telling you. Amen. There's not two ways. It cannot be two ways. There's one way to God. There's one mediator between God and men. And that's the man Christ Jesus. And I tell you what, we live in a day of people trying to come up with another way. Because they don't want to meet the requirements that the Son of God said you had to meet if you're going to be saved. Amen? And the requirements of being saved is hearing the Word of God under the power of God and getting under conviction and repenting toward God and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Ghost does that in your heart, you'll know, thank God, it's been done. You can declare you've been saved. Thank God, you ought to nail that down and know, thank God, in your heart you've been born again. You've passed from death unto life. You're a child of God. Hey, you don't have a fake. You don't have a phony. Thank God you got the real thing. I'm telling you, there's only one way to God. Amen. That's right. Listen to this. There's not two masters. There's not two ways. And there's not two Bibles neither. Amen. There's only one Word of God that's been inspired by God, and I hold it in my hand today. Amen. I'm telling you what, it isn't nothing in this day, friend, for them to make a dollar bill off an NIV or these other versions that's come out. But there's only one Bible, and that's the old King James Bible. And I'm telling you, men today have fought over the Word of God. The devil attacked it in the beginning when he said God had not said. But God said it, no matter what the devil said. Jesus said to him in John 8:44, he said, you're a liar and the father of it. That's what he said. He's the father of it because he told the first one. Amen. To Eve there in the Garden of Eden. He told to her. He said, what God says is not true. What God says is true. And what this Bible says is true. And there's no such a thing as two Bibles. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. I know and understand where If you go back where the Bible come from, all that, thank God some of them other, they came together, these men did under them, the received text, and we had some other Bibles before then, but I'm talking about 1611. Thank God God put His hand on that Bible. He did, and He's had His hand on it ever since. I've told you this, and I'm sorry to say it, but it's the truth. Amen. When I got saved, I bought all kind of versions. I didn't know no better. Nobody preached to me. I bought the Living Bible. That's what they call it. Mr. Kenneth Taylor wrote that. He's probably in hell today. I threw it in the trash can. I wouldn't have it. Amen. I bought a New King James that Jerry Falwell endorsed. And somebody told me, he said, that ain't the Bible. I said, well, it says King James on it. They said, it says the New King James. I got to reading that thing. The Holy Ghost told me that it wasn't the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, any Bible that a man reads that don't match up with what you got in the pew, I'd throw it away. Amen. I'm talking about the Bible, friend. There's only one Bible, and that's the old King James Bible. Amen. That's right. Thank God. You say, well, what about Charles Stanley? He uses the NIV. Well, he's got smarter than God. He probably knows more than I do, but he don't know some things I do. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not getting on people, I'm just preaching the Bible. But I'm telling you what, friend, what happened in a lot of people's day, they got so educated they thought they could be smarter than God and write a Bible that men could understand, but it ain't going to happen. Because only one person can interpret what was being wrote, and that's the one that wrote it. And that's the God book. And you can't interpret that unless you have the Holy Ghost to interpret it for you. Because it's spiritually discerned. And the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It can't be. It can't be like that. If it could be, then Bill Clinton could read it. And you could say, man, that man knows something. Amen. Hey, there's a lot of people say they know something. And they've heard things from a child. But when it comes down to personal interpretation, where the Holy Ghost teaches you the Bible, hey friend, he's the only one that can teach it to you. That's right. I've had people in this church here come to me. You know what they said? They said, I can't understand the Bible. I said, well, a lost man can't.
Right, brother.
A lost man can't understand the Bible. How's a lost man understand the Bible? It's Holy Ghost writ.
Yeah.
It's not of any private interpretation. Holy men of God speak as they are moved by the Holy Ghost. Thank God you can understand it like heck can. The Holy Ghost show it to you. Amen. He's the only one to teach it to you. I can get up here and preach all day. Until God channels it through the Spirit of God to put it in your heart, you never will understand it anyway. Amen. God's got to show it to you. It's not something I learned when I was a kid. I went to the Methodist church and I was growing up. I liked Sunday school. Got a cookie and a drink. I never understood. Never learned nothing. Amen. Never heard nothing from the man, a priest. He never said nothing profitable. He just got up there and gave a book report. Amen. Hey, the Holy Ghost has to teach a man.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Not no two Bibles.
That's right.
I'm not debating on it. I'm just preaching the truth.
Yeah.
There's not no two pastors in a church.
No.
There's one pastor in the house of God. He puts a man of God there to lead the flock and feed the flock. He charged them as the oversight of the house of God. Not being Lord over God's heritage, God forbid. I don't want to be a Lord. I've got one Lord, and that's Jesus. Amen. And He's the only Lord in the head of this church. Amen. I'm just His spokesman. I'm just to oversee the house of God to make sure it stays on spiritual rights and spiritual ways and feed the people and preach to the people and love the people and help the people. And thank God in turn, that's what they to do to me. Is to be a help and a blessing and pray and seek the face of God. But God will never tell anybody else in the church house before He tells a man of God what a church ought to do.
That's right.
I've heard women say in the house of God, well, the Lord told me this. I said, well, He didn't tell me, so sit down. That's right. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be ugly. That's why I'm trying to preach the truth of your heart. But God never ordained a woman to preach or teach over a man. They to never use up authority over the man at the house of God. They to remain in silence when it comes to authority positions in the church.
Yeah.
When Miriam come out and danced, it was with the women. And when she wanted to preach, God struck her with leprosy. And Aaron, he got in trouble with God too.
Sure did.
I ain't tooting no horn. God help. I ought to get on my face and thank God he let me preach. Hey, I'm a nothing. Hey, man. I'm just saying that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Word of God teaches. Amen. Listen, friend. Hey, God, these assistant pastors and all these other assistants in the church ain't no more than deacons with another title. Amen. There's not no two pastors in the church. That's what's wrong with most churches. You got a little authority struggle down at the house of God. I ain't scared of it. I'll preach it if God help me. That's why it's hard to preach some places, because they got authority. Little structure built up down at the church. Your charter members. People that come in wanting to run the church. I don't like it like that, preacher. Well, thank God. Amen. Pray about it. That's right. Ain't nobody owns nothing around here. Whatever God wants. Don't you want that? Amen. I mean, there ain't but one, ain't but two officers in a Baptist church. That's the pastor and deacon. That's what the book says. There's only two officers in a Baptist church, or any church if it's a church, and that's a pastor and a deacon. Amen. That's right. There can't be two pastors. They can't be two heads at the house. I saw the other day a pig had two heads. It had a two-headed pig.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't go out there to that fire before and look in there and see if them people had two heads, did you? It's a monstrosity. It's not true. Amen. Listen, friend, there's only one head in the house. The Bible said the husband is head of the wife.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But that's the truth. You can't have two heads. There's got to be a leader in the house. There's got to be a man somewhere, thank God. Ezekiel said he saw one and he didn't find a one. But there's got to be a head, thank God, the house. And said, this is what God wants. And I'm telling you this, we live in such a day now that there's not many spiritual men. And I don't have no problem with a husband asking his wife things if he needs to confer with her. But he ought not never have her to tell him what to do.
But they are.
Yeah, and you know what? It does boil my blood a little bit. And I know people, they say, oh, Brother Hyatt, he's hard on the women. I'm not hard on women. I'm trying to say, thank God there's a position a woman has. And the problem with in the book of Jeremiah, I believe it was, that they got to a place where it said the women and the children ruled, and we was in a mess. Now the children rule. You can't whoop them no more. If you don't whoop them, you don't love them. Boy, it was hard to whoop them. You know, my daddy, I didn't think he never had a problem with it. My mama didn't either. I'm telling you, she was rough too. And me and my wife, you know, I mean, I'd done spanking. And I always thought, you know, this should be easy. Until I got in there and done it.
Yeah.
And it tore my heart out.
It sure did.
Tore my heart out.
Yes.
First time I ever gave a man spanking, or a man just spanking, tore my heart out. Really did. I did not enjoy it. I'll be the first one to admit I did not enjoy it. But I knew it was a needed thing, and I knew if they was going to, thank God, come under subjection to my authority, then it's going to have to be whooped.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it ain't no this modern day philosophy is talk to them.
Yeah.
Just talk to them.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, sometime that might work. And this old boy here, I mean, how old are you now? 16?
17.
17. You're a little big to whoop. But I tell you, Daddy's still big enough to whoop you. Amen. But I'll tell you what, really, 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 in according to Scripture, amen, from a child talking about an infant to adolescent.
Yeah.
By the time they reach 11 or 12 years old, yes, sir, Daddy. Yes, sir. That's right.
Yeah.
That's what that means. If you look up that word child there, it means from infant to adolescent. That means when that child turns to be about a teenager, they ought to be under such control that that ought not even have to be. And I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to help a child by spanking them when they're 16, 17, 18 years old.
Too late.
It's too late. Thank God you can't bend a tree that's been growing that long, friend.
No.
You better bend it while it's little.
Yeah.
But I still think you ought to stand up and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm the daddy around here.
Yeah.
If you're the daddy of the house, you ought to be.
Right.
And you can't have two heads. You just can't do it. Hey, God, the man's got to be the head. You can't have two heads.
Amen.
And I must say this, and you can take it up with God if you don't like what I'm about to say. But I'm going to tell you what's sending a lot of children to hell beside liberal preachers and churches. It's parents that won't spank their children.
Amen.
Because the Bible teaches that if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die, but thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. And I'm not talking about just abusing a child to be a mean bully. That's unto God. You ain't got no heart.
Right.
But I think you ought to use a rod on the rear.
Yeah.
That's what it's for, is cushion a little bit back there. I don't believe you ought to take a rod. And I know they did beat them on the back too. They did. It said, but the stripes is for a fool's back.
Yeah.
The rumpus. The carcass. That's what it need to be spanked. I don't believe in just popping them upside the head. All that foolishness. Your head needs to be examined. But I do believe this. I believe a child needs to be disciplined. And and somebody said, well, you ought not spank them. Mad, under God, how can you not be mad some if you wasn't going to spank them? What's you going to do? Go in there and say, boy, I'm not mad, but I'm just going to go ahead and give it to you. Boy, my daddy had, thank God, smoke coming out of his ears. Amen. It helped me too. I mean, he come in, he said, you see the belt in there? Hey, I could hit him, get that belt out. He, thank God, he got that belt off. And son, he come with a haymaker. Amen. He roared back. He didn't just do that. Amen. I had one of them old handball paddles I used. I still got it there at the house. I'd come back, I'd say, pow!
Yeah, that's right.
It hurt my heart.
Yeah.
But God told me to be the man. And the head of the house and raise my children according to the word of God and be in subjection. If they talk back at me or said they wouldn't even thought, I wouldn't even thought about talking back to my daddy when I was growing up. I see these little old boys and girls now want to talk back to mom and daddy. Well, they need broke down. Now I understand, I didn't spank my girl half as much as did my boy. She probably didn't need it quite as much. But I'm just saying this this morning, friend. If you don't learn to punish wrongdoing, then what they'll think they can get by with it.
Yes.
They'll take you far as they can. I've seen them in grocery stores. I mean, I saw one the other day and they pitched a literal fit because they wasn't getting what they wanted. I wanted to say something so bad and the Holy Ghost said, son, that's not your child. I just wanted to say, hey, buddy. And I'm going to tell you what, spankings is not hating, it's loving. If it's done right. If a rod is applied to the rear in instructing them, this is why I'm doing it, because I love you and because I'm driving foolishness from you and you know it's wrong and there's punishment for wrongdoing, they learn by that. But if they think you're against them, if they think you're going to go up and use your hand on them and use all kind of tactics and words and verbal abuse on them, I'm telling you what you do, you're driving them far from you and you never will be able to win them, you never will be able to help them. I'm telling you this, friend, there can't be two heads in one household. Listen to me. I was the head of the house. She was my helpmeet. If I told them something, they knew not to go to her. She's rougher than I am anyhow. We agreed on that.
Yeah.
If they had went to her and she said no way, they wouldn't have come to me if they had and I found it out. It'd been rough. But I know children are play between their parents sometimes. Now don't tell your daddy I'll let you do it. That's rebellion. I'll finish with this one. I'm getting it all out this morning, what God's put in my heart. You can't have two masters. You can't have two heads and two ways and two Bibles and two pastors. You can't have two churches. There's one place God's got a man. And that's where the Word of God's at. Where there's not a bunch of foolishness going on. Don't tell me. God told me. God put it in my heart. When I got saved, thank God, to get with a local assembly of born-again believers. Amen. And get plugged in and go with God. And know and have that settled in my heart. Amen. Thank God, I just had it settled, friend. And that's what God settles in a man's heart.
That's right.
That's why you didn't have to wake up this morning and say, Daddy, are we going to church today? That's why you boys was raised like that. Thank God, before you was ever born, I was here. Your mom and daddy was 18 or 19 years old when I met them. Had you boys come to church, been faithful. I like that word faithful, don't you? And I'm going to tell you what, I'm not preaching churchianity, I'm preaching Christianity, because a man that loves Christ will be faithful to his house.
Yeah.
If I can get you to come to church and that's all you do, then you ain't got much.
Right.
I used to do that, boy, I'd beat people to death about missing church. But you know what? You'll miss what's in your heart. I told my wife, I said, I ain't going to lay out of church on Sunday and go to work on Monday. That's awful tight, preacher. That's the way it is. I've saw people miss the house of God on Sunday morning, and you call them on Sunday evening, and they said, oh, they run to Walmart. I don't believe that way. Amen. That's right. So if all I got, if all we got, people just... by the rule and by legalism, you got to come to church three times a week. We don't have much. What we have is Christianity, and we have Christ in our heart. And we want to be there because we love Jesus, we love the Bible, we love one another.
Yeah.
And that's the reason you come.
Right.
And in fact, Hebrews 10:25 deals with a bunch of Jews that were forsaking the assembly because of fear. Ladies, listen, friend, they just didn't have two or three. They closed the doors and said, we got the fear. We're not going to assemble. That's what they're saying there. That's why the Bible said if we sin after we have received willingly, after receiving the truth was God says assemble together. You're sinning willfully by closing the doors on the house of God and not assembling because you got fear of the Jews. Amen. And you can use that verse, if you want to, about faithfulness. But faithfulness is not to the church. Faithfulness is to Christ, who's the head of the church.
Yeah.
And if you're faithful to Christ, who's the head of the church, then thank God He put something in your heart to be where the body is.
Amen.
A fellow told me the other week, he said, they had a singing up the road the other day. And he said, about half my congregation went up there. I said, what'd you do? He said, nothing. He said, I just told him next time we'll move our service. Boy, I tell you what, I'd hate to think. I really would hate to think that I could, if the McCameys was singing up here at the Free Will Baptist this morning.
Yeah.
And I like some of their music. But I'm telling you what, I'd hate to think anybody be singing and somebody say, I believe I'm going to go to the singing.
Yeah. That's right.
And I look across there and I say, where's old John at? And Billy and...
Yeah.
Sammy.
Yeah.
Well, they said, I saw his baby.
Lord willing, we'll be here.
That'd be bad, wouldn't it? I'd scratch my head and I'd say, now, wait a minute, I've seen this guy since 1990.
Yeah.
I said, he's got saved. I said, I remember the first time he missed church and he felt bad after he just got saved because he went to the racetrack.
Yeah.
Miserable. Ain't that right?
Miserable.
You come in that Sunday night.
Flow.
Head down, son. I didn't say nothing to him. Did I say anything to you?
Oh, Holy Ghost beat me up pretty hard.
Well, I surely wouldn't believe you'd go up there to singing. And I wouldn't believe anybody in this church. I got enough confidence in you. You should lay out of church to go hear somebody sing and not want to hear preaching. I'm telling you, there's not two churches, friend. And brother, we got these people that don't know, amen, and they ask for everything else. What's this got to offer? What's that got to offer? What about the holy things of God?
Right.
You can't serve two masters. Don't you want to die one day? And they said, see, I'm not giving a change much, but I think some changes is good. I really do. Don't you? It's better to ride a mower than push one.
Yeah.
I'm giving to that.
Me too,
bro. Amen. Some of y'all used to push them mowers, some of them old timers. Thank God they just got there and had to struggle to push. It's a whole lot better getting on one riding than pushing.
Amen.
But there's some things that when, if your carcass is laying up here in a coffin and somebody comes by and sees old Danny Blackwater and say, praise God, I knew what he stood for. They didn't come by and say, well, I hope he made it. I don't know if he made it or not. They'd say, praise God, old brother Danny testified in the church. Faithful to the church. Loved the old time book. And he didn't serve two masters. Life anyway is like a roller coaster. And we're riding it. That's right. Boy, some Sunday mornings you come in, you at the top, son, about to shout, because when it goes downhill, that's when they shout. But when they get to the bottom of the hill, it ain't as fun to them that like it. But life's like that. You see, there's a lot of heights and lows. Heights and lows. You come in one morning, you high, and somebody's low, and you'll say, I don't know what's wrong with them. Just hold on, it'll be you next Sunday.
Amen.
You say, what you going to do through it all? I'm going to get with God and ask Him to help me. Oh, God, to help me. I need God to help me. I just need a touch of God in my heart. I need the Lord to do something for me that'll last.
Yeah.
You say, what you going to... Hey, shout, when thank God, when your clothes is in the mud. Shout, thank God, when the sun's shining bright.
Yeah.
He's the same God. We don't shout off what we feel. We shout off who He is.
Yeah.
You shout off who He is, thank God. I'll tell you what, it'll be a good feeling because you know who you're praising. But if you come in here, oh, I don't feel good today. That'd be a good name for a Baptist church. I'm not feeling good today, Baptist church. It might, because I'm going to tell you what, there's a good nucleus here already that's not feeling good. I guarantee you that. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if we was a not feeling good Baptist church, I'd still stick with you and hug your neck and love you and say, thank God. Amen. I don't care where you're at, whether you're in jail, whether you're wherever you're at, thank God you can call me, I'll come. Because I love you. And when I get there, I won't condemn you. Because I thought it could have been me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's right, bro.
Could have been me.
Right.
Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, we can't serve two masters. We'll either hate the one, love the other, despise the one. You cannot do it. You can't serve two. You can't serve grandma on Sunday afternoon when she's cooking chicken noodles, amen. She says, now we got Aunt Sally and Uncle Jimmy coming over today and you can miss church on Sunday afternoon. Come on over and eat with us. And I always say, I love Jesus more than do the chicken noodles.
Yeah.
Chicken dumplings, whatever you want to call it. That's right. Now, I'll tell you what, I like them, but I'm telling you what, I don't like them more than I do meeting with y'all.
No way.
Right. That's right.
I love my earthly family, and a lot of them's here this morning. Thank God for them.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if they tried to get me laid out of church on Sunday night because Uncle and Aunt was coming by and say, nah.
No way.
They wouldn't even try to tempt me on that. They wouldn't even think about it. Wouldn't even think about it, Brother Hip. They wouldn't even think about saying, we got these people coming by. Amen. Hey, they know, and I'll tell you what, my children always come to me too. They always sat with my wife. They wasn't scattered all over the church where I couldn't see them. And they came to church.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you what, you wouldn't send your children to any doctor. Some of them I've had in the time passed away, they doctored. I'm telling you what, I wouldn't want to go back to them. But I'll tell you what, some parents have sent them to any preacher. Getting quiet on me.
Yeah.
Hang in there, boys. It'll work out.
It'll
You say, preacher, you're hitting me. I'm meaning to. If it didn't hit you, it wouldn't help you.
Amen.
Thank God. I said I'm going to tighten her down. Can't serve two masters. It gets awful tight. Jesus didn't tell them one Sunday. He said, boys, one Sunday you can go over here to Gamaliel's. The next Sunday go to Paul's. Can't do it. Can't serve two masters neither.
Right.
Let's stand this morning. I love you.